For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's, the season's almost here. Edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here, the voice on the other hand, and you can follow me on the Twitter, on the Threads, on the Blue Sky now, at HootransSuperman. That's HUUTRN Superman. And I'm here. He squatches the dragons. He squatches them good. Dragon Squatch, what is up, sir?
Happy birthday, Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann, the guy that's holding up the James Harden trade, the guy who hit 50 three-pointers on the Jazz. He was on some sort of podcast or something where he talked about that game and how crazy it was that they're like, all right, just go ahead and shoot threes. And so happy anniversary to our
Paul George's father, and that means that Paul George is Quinn's father, which makes Joe Ingles Quinn's grandfather.
So. the family tree for the Jazzmen there. It's a Texas showdown in the postseason, and Bet Online is your number one source for all your baseball wagering info. With up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns, get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for the NFL and college football at your fingertips with Bet Online's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. We have everything you need to stay up to speed on each LCS all the way through the World Series. Head to the website today and or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
I believe so. I think so. Have not partaken in. I think I watched part of a preseason game early on, but I haven't watched any since. I log on quickly to make sure that my league pass is still working, considering all of the fun snafus. But I haven't. It's no secret I find little value in preseason.
Right.
And to watch people's reactions on the Twitter makes me even more recoil than wanting to watch any of it. So.
Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that did cross my mind, kind of piggyback the last time we all potted together, was I don't know how to feel about this group. And the one fear that kind of creeped in my mind was, you know, I know we viewed the Jazz season last year differently, but I lost a ton of interest when it was apparent that the team wasn't any good and they weren't going to be good. You know, the games would be on, but it was like half-hearted, you know, just background music, almost like baseball is a lot of times. And that's kind of the little bit of fear I have creeping in now, is I still don't know what this team is. And that's probably jumping in too fast, too early, but I think I'm ready, but I'm also kind of just not really excited, I guess. So
yeah, first point about preseason, like, you know, I think the last time the thing is that preseason hasn't been on days that I've worked. I mean, and or if it's been on days that I worked, I've been really locked in on what I've had to do. So I think the game was on in the background, like on last Sunday, but I saw nothing. I saw very little of it. Most of my information I'm getting is basically from Twitter, which is not a bad way to live, as long as, like, you know, I think you and I, you know, and then there's people out there, like, who can disseminate the information that you get and, like, not just, you know, like it's not gospel. Like I see it on Twitter. I'm like, okay, that's an opinion. And, you know, I put it in there though, because I'm like, all right, that could be something that's true. I'm going to keep an eye out for that. But you know, it's not, it's just funny, like THT and Chris Dunn, two guys that like, I mean, polar opposites, and there's camps. People are like, oh, team Chris Dunn, team THT. And I find that a little crazy, but, because I just think those guys are below average, and, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being, I mean, not everybody can be a superstar. Two guys to even be like, be average or like just a little below average is pretty good for, I mean, Chris Dunn's a former number five pick, THT is a second round pick, but you know, Chris Dunn, you know, was almost out of the league. So, for him to fight back to where he is, it's pretty impressive. So being below average, I don't want to make that sound like it's an insult. Just like, I'm like we're caring about guys that are, let's just say average, league average.
It's a mid-off.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
THT, only 17 years old. He's got Benjamin Button where he ages backwards. You know, you make a great point on Chris Dunn, to your point on Twitter, it is, you can take a lot because you know which guys are in which camps, you know which people have certain agendas because we have been around long enough. So you can usually tell what the truth is because people are pretty consistent in what their thoughts are. But yeah, I find the Chris Dunn dialogue kind of fascinating because you're right. He was out of the league, right? So the Jazz gave him a couple 10 days, I think, to finish out last year, I think, and then signed him full. But I think he was out, right?
So, yeah, like, so he was playing in the G League last year. So
Derek Favors can't make the G League anymore.
Yeah. Like the G League is essentially out of the league. Especially when you're a vet of like a few years, like if you have more than 2 or 3 years under your belt, NBA experience under your belt, getting back into the G League is not, you know, not usually a stepping stone in the right direction. Let me rephrase that. It's not a huge step in the right direction. It is a stepping stone in the right direction, but it's not. It's not like,
you need to take out a grain of salt though when you're having these hardcore debates as to why one is or isn't playing. And I guess the Chris Dunn stuff, I know nothing about Chris Dunn's game. We joked about Drew Holiday. I know nothing about your game. Chris Dunn, I know even less because Chris Dunn came around and his rise to prominence happened when the Jazz were just useless. And so it's interesting that the folks who love Chris Dunn put a lot of stock into him playing with,
right,
you know, the mop-up duty crew, but then they discredit others. But what's interesting is, at least on the Twitterverse, the folks who seem to have more, well, I don't know if they're more balanced, some of the ones who are a little more balanced and typically their views, and some of the beat reporters, I believe, have actually been pretty high on Chris Dunn, which I find shocking. But then I saw something that I think yesterday that said that Chris Dunn just doesn't shoot threes. He can't make them and he won't shoot them. And that may be part of the problem. Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
Something like he's shooting like 92% from the field. Like he's only missed like one shot all preseason, but everything he takes is all like gimmies at the rim. And so
you want a starting lineup with Chris Dunn,
John Collins,
and Walker Kessler, who can't. Well, I guess he hit a corner three the other night, which some people loved, and McKay nearly pissed his pants.
Hitting spot up corner threes are the new. And if we ever get Jake Penrod on our pod, I'm sure he'll love to talk because he's another guy that wants to see our center shoot threes, and I'm not sure. I'm in the camp of like, look, hey, spot up threes are nice, but you know, it's there's a difference between hitting the 30% spot up 3-pointer in the corner versus what Joel Embiid and Jokic do, and so it's a long way from, you know, being a prominent superstar. So
yeah, I think there's value in it. I think that I want a center that actually has an offensive game that isn't just rolling and dunking. So if a couple 3-point shots a game is what he throws in there to show an offensive game, then that's fine. I think it's just different now, right? Like, you're right. You don't need the Embiids and the Jokic's, who it's like, it's as much of their game as it was John Stockton's all those years ago. But yeah, I think you just hit a couple. And
right.
I don't know. To me, it's not even hitting the threes as much as it shows that he's actually forming an offensive game.
Yes.
You know, that's the way I view it. Like, Brook Lopez will hit a three, but you don't necessarily like.
Right.
Brook Lopez is an elite 3-point shooter, and he's.
It's part of his game.
He's at least competent offensively, unlike the Frenchman. So.
So did you, I was going to talk about this later, but did you get a chance to listen to the last episode where I was able to talk to a couple of, Rudy Gobert podcasters?
I did. I actually did listen. I did listen to the the boy lynx.
The boy lynx. Yes, the boy lynx. The lady wolves.
That was very clever. I was trying to understand what it was, and then I was like, you know what? It's an interesting question because I was in junior high. I remember like that's when you started noticing things like the lady huskies of Yukon, and I said so. At the time, Syracuse was the Orangemen. I'm like, are they the Lady Orangemen? So it was, you know, I found that to be funny.
The Orange Ladies.
The ladies were right. It is, the Lynx are the only Minnesota dynasty that's ever existed. So.
It's true.
So the Twins snuck in a World Series or two, I think, back in the Kirby Puckett days.
Right.
Kirby Puckett. That's a pretty desolate, for a four sport city, they've had a rough run.
Yeah, they got four chances a year.
Want to comment on one thing, though. I want to say it on Twitter, though. I love that Rudy has gotten them all tricked like he tricked us every year. Because you ask him, how do you guys feel about Rudy this year? And they said, yeah, you know, because they were excited when they got him. The season, I think, made them feel like they were down on him. And they were like, well, we are more excited this year because he seems like he's locked in. And his interviews, he's talking about how what he's been working on in the offseason. I'm like, oh, God, you poor ladies. He's got his old tricks up to what he's been working on in the offseason. Yeah. He and Donovan were famous for that, right? Yep. And you guys will see. How old is Rudy now? He's not right. Unveiling anything new.
I'm going to do the same type of interview with hopefully some Cleveland people here soon to talk about the Donovan stuff too, because it's interesting, you know, like how.
Yeah, well, the Cleveland stuff will be good now because I think the national rumor stuff is hitting them already.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I talked to a guy I work with out of Cleveland. I said, how do you feel about Donovan Mitchell? And at that point, it was still honeymoon phase, right? They hadn't seen no defense Donovan in the playoffs. They hadn't heard rumors to where he was leaving Donovan. And I think. If I talk to Victor now, I think his tune would be a little different.
Well, it's funny because like I work with a kid who he's a Cavaliers fan. You know, he grew up because he's like 15 years younger than us, right? And so he grew up in the LeBron era, so he's a Cavs fan and Cavaliers fan, and so he didn't get to experience like the 90s and really the 2000s, you know, before LeBron Cavs, right? But the playoffs was just frustrated, you know, Donovan Mitchell, like it was because we saw Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs again, and it was, you know, tale of the old time for Jazz fans, and so it was his first year experiencing that, and so I just remember in the playoffs he was pretty much done. He's like, oh, Donovan, get him off the team, you know, it needs to be Darius's team, yada yada yada, and you know, just like 2 weeks ago, you know, all this stuff with Donovan, the extension, and he's fine. He's back on the Donovan bandwagon. It is funny how like we have just memories like goldfishes. We just kind of forget all the stuff, and so just it is funny to see the similarity, the symmetry between the Timberwolves fans who, I mean, and good, they should be excited because that's their big three, and you know, if they weren't excited, boy, things would be really. And I thought it was interesting because I re-listened to our, you know, you and I did the episode last year about the Minnesota and Cleveland trades, and we talked about like the haul that we got for both of them, and we liked the Cavs trade better, but it was interesting that like because the Wolves trade had a lot of players in it, and they were like, oh, Malik Beasley they liked, Vanderbilt. And like they didn't even care about the draft picks at all. And that's sort of, I think that's sort of like, it reminded me of you. Cause like you like the more soluble, they call the draft picks more obtuse, but you like the more like, all right, these are actual players. Like, that's why we like the Donovan one better, you know, Lauri Markkanen, which we didn't know at the time was going to be so, I mean, my exact words, and I didn't send this to you guys, but my exact words were like, oh, he's nice. He's 7 foot. He's tall. He can shoot threes. And very nonchalantly, he's not gonna be an all-star. And you know how wrong, you know, like that shows how much of a dumbass I am, right? But you know, we were talking about how like, you know, the Cavaliers kind of gave interesting. We thought maybe Walker Kessler can become a thing. He became a thing, so that was pretty good, I guess. So I just thought it was funny how like they were interesting. Like, yeah, they were.
It was a good reminder that like there are fans in the world, if you're on the Twitterverse, that is strictly NBA GMs and draft pick and draft capital and asset heavy, that there are still fans in the world who watch the games and actually enjoy the players for the players. And I mean, think about it, for those guys, that was to lose that crew of people. We saw those guys, we didn't end up getting jack shit for them, really, because Mike Conley was probably the piece that got us that Lakers pick, right? So I don't think we didn't get much for Vando, Beasley, and the rest of the crew. It all kind of turned out to be nothing, right? I don't think we got anything for them. I mean, they're all part of that Lakers.
All part of that three-team rate trade, and that gave us another draft pick.
Yeah.
Pat Beverly gave us THT. So I don't know how, yeah. You know, how.
But I mean, imagine from a couple of years ago, like the Jazz core, the lovable core. Like imagine like if you had to lose like Joe Ingles, George Yang.
Yep.
And Derek Favors all at once. Right? Like, Derek, I mean, Favors. to give it some context,
right.
because I heard that too. At first, I was like, oh, these, like, that's kind of a weird way to look at it. And I was like, well, wait a second. Like, you're right. There are still people who enjoy that,
right?
That part of it all. And I think it's funny too, not, I guess, to shift gears a little bit, but like, it's funny because the Dame Lillard trade was like, initially everyone was just shitting on the Dame Lillard trade about, you know, the first wave of it, what they got for it. And they were taking their victory laps as to what Danny Ainge had done, and when it was all said and done, and for good reason, I think the Dame packages were much better than the Rudy and Don. So maybe the market isn't ruined. You know, the Bradley Beal doesn't matter because there was different circumstances there. But yeah, they ended up with a lot in Portland once they flipped Drew. I mean, they got, I think, a similar draft haul that we got, but they also actually got actual players too, right? So
yeah, they got DeAndre Ayton, who. I know, depending on people's opinion on him, but he is former number one pick. Like, he's not just a scrub, right? Like yeah, he's not Luka, he's not Trey, but
they got Brogdon and they got Time Lord, right?
Time Lord,
yeah, Robert Williams, who is Time Lord, who is the same person who I didn't realize was the same person until the playoffs last year, because I thought Time Lord was like the guy's name,
yeah,
and then Robert Williams was a different guy.
Like Time Lord,
they've got two guys. Like, yeah. This is. You got 200 centers all the time. This is fucking weird.
So we'll have another little Donovan Mitchell chat in a little bit here, but yeah. So the Jazz, so again, we're Walker Kessler turning into a thing was nice and interesting for the Jazz, so the Jazz. I don't know if you haven't watched a lot of Jazz, but you know, how do you feel John Collins is sitting in the first week of the being a Jazz man on the court.
It seems like they're figuring out how to work with each other better, right? Like, it seems like the first couple of games were rough, as one would expect. But it sounds like the last couple of games, they found a better rhythm with him. He's probably the guy I'm most excited about when I was thinking about, am I excited about this season or not? Like, I'm just nervous entering, I'm like, can Laurie replicate it? I don't know. I want to say yes, but my gut kind of tells me, I don't know, maybe that was a flash in the pan. You already know how I feel about Walker Kessler and the hype there. John Collins is the one that intrigues me most. Like, I think he's the one unknown. Like you said, we got in the mid-offs in the point guard situation, which is nothing. And then, I don't know, Collins and Keontae are the two things I get most excited about as the season approaches.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, what worries me, I guess, is just that the when we last potted with you and Jared, and he's like, oh, did you hear that John Collins might play the three? And I was like, okay. And, like, that was, like, the first, like, second me hearing that. I'm like, okay, that's – put your best guys on the court. I get that, and so I do remember seeing part of that first whatever Sunday night preseason game that was 2 weeks ago, and going, boy, I don't know if that's gonna work having Laurie, Walker, and John Collins out there. I don't think spacing's everything, but man, it just felt like there was no spacing at all, especially if you had that Chris Dunn in there who doesn't shoot threes. It just seems like, I was like, all right, so the Jazz have a lot of, like, okay, cool. The Jazz have five power forwards and centers that are really good. The Jazz have, four shooting guards that are pretty good. They don't have small forwards and they don't have point guards. Take that with what you will. So,
I mean, the hope in theory is that, like, John Collins, the hope, and I guess in part of the intrigue in John Collins, is that he actually is a 3-point shooter and he's just had some down years with a finger injury and playing with Trae Young, right? Like, I mean, If John Collins is what we hope he is, spacing shooting should be something that comes around, right? I mean, I'm not super familiar with John Collins' game, but that's my understanding, anyways.
I mean, so when I was excited about John Collins, 2 years ago, two, three years ago, when the Jazz were, super spaced out, like, hey, Rudy in the middle, four guys in perimeter, I was like, look, I don't think you need to have Bogey. But can John Collins be that corner, could do the Derek Favors three-pointer, the Walker Kessler three-pointer, put him in the corner and hit him 35-40% at from the corner. And I thought the personnel worked, because you had Mike, you had Joe, you had Donovan. With this new crop, I'm like, I just feel like the Jazz need a couple more, and I'm not a scout, so just needs a little more – playmaking. I don't know who's making the play. Like, Laurie didn't show last year that he could create his own shot. It just feels hard that the Jazz are not going to have anybody that can create their own offense. And, you know, having a good offensive system works, but when it comes down to, like, you know, clutch time and especially playoff basketball, like, eventually you just need guys that can get their own, you know? Like, they don't even run sets. Like, these guys that can dominate in the offense. And I don't know. I don't know if the Jazz are going to have that, get that. But, you know, that's a conversation for December, January, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be said. Yeah, it, on paper right now, it doesn't appear as they have that. But that's why you have to play the games and see if, again, you get a Lauri Markkanen jump or you get a John Collins unlocks the potential that he has. Or, like I said, George becomes something. I think that some of those guys are where they're all obviously – you're not looking for a Kelly Olynyk jump. You're not looking for a Chris Dunn jump. I think THT, even though he's only 17, has proved he is what he is, right? And Jordan Clarkson is what he is. So
yeah,
I think you just got to hope that, I don't know, Hendricks or George takes off. Bryce doesn't appear to actually be on the Jazz's team.
Yeah, so, I think. It's the 20 whatever pick in the draft. Like,
that's where Rudy Gobert got picked.
That's where Rudy Gobert got picked.
It's where we passed on.
Yeah.
What's his name?
It's weird. It's weird that the Jazz didn't fight. You know, like, hey, we're gonna be fine without the number one pick. You know, you're gonna have picks 9, 15, and 27, and or 26 or whatever it was, and you'll be fine there. And just not as apparently those guys are not as good as the guys that are picked ahead of them. It's weird how that worked out. So, but we don't really know yet. I'll bring that up when we bring up the Hendricks topic. And before we do, though, like, you talk about League Pass. Like, so it's funny because, you are now in the League Pass. Like, it's so crazy to me that, like, when someone – I think it was Milo from, you know, the former editor of SLC Dunk posted a picture of, like, these are the states – or this is the area that doesn't get Jazz games because they're in – and it was, like, all of Idaho. It was, like, the Dakotas. I was like, why is it so far up there? Like – are those really Jazz fans that, like, they can't get Jazz games? And Ryan Smith did the Ryan Smith thing of, oh, we have a problem after the fact that we found on Twitter. You know, he tweets out, oh, I got it, don't worry. And again, to their credit, it got fixed. You, Logan, in Boise, have a chance to watch Jazz games now. So
I do, but it sounds like some folks in Idaho Falls are fucked. So I don't know if it's right. I'm not gonna, you know me, I'm very happy not to give Ryan his victory laps, but
right.
I've seen a lot of folks in Idaho Falls very confused though, because they seem to be getting blacked. I had a couple people actually when the fiasco took place who were tagging me, people I've never met before when we were talking about it, and they were three or four Idaho Falls people I've got tagged in recently saying, is yours working? Mine isn't. I think they were under the impression I was on their side of the state, but I'm not. So I think the Idaho Falls still has quite a bit of confusion to where even up as recently as the last preseason game. So I don't think they've cleared it up.
And this is
and then it also appears as though the app situation is getting some. Mm-hmm. I think Jazz Mom was another example of the frustration of not being able to figure out how to do this because there's not apps for everything yet.
Yep.
You can't stream it to your TV. So they definitely aren't ready. And we all know that this is their first year doing it, so there's going to be some gnarly hiccups. Mm-hmm. Like, there just is. So I just, again, it's funny because NBA League Pass is historically a terrible app, but I'm thanking God that, for one, I get to watch all the games for a lower price, and I don't have to deal with the growing pains. I don't want Jazz Plus. Like, I would be more disappointed if they extended the rights of Jazz Plus here and I had to buy that.
Because then you'd have to just watch Jazz games plus buy NBA League Pass to watch other games.
Yeah, so instead of spending $100, I'd be spending, you know, $100 for League Pass and then $125 more plus.
Right.
I'm not super confident in this app, and I hear weird things, like some of them has audio, some of them doesn't. Mm-hmm. Again, it's preseason, so they're working out kinks. But right.
And that's the thing. Like Ryan, and we talked about this. Like, and you mentioned this last year. Like Ryan Smith, he takes victory laps on the things that are like really easy. Hey, scholarships to underprivileged kids, or underrepresented kids. You know, that's a slam dunk. You know, a patch for cancer, that's a slam dunk. Like they get the PR off the good stuff. Like, hey, we found a way to stream games for you at a low price. That was a good slam dunk. You know, I'm glad that he's taking a loss on it because, you know, he's got the money. He's fine. The problem is, like, and now, and Ryzen's gonna find out, you know, not everybody's gonna love you anymore because you released an app that wasn't ready yet. You know, you didn't work out all the kinks yet, and there's gonna be problems. There's gonna be problems with it, and now that it's the Jazz, and you know, you can't blame AT&T Sportsnet. You can't blame Root Sports. You can't blame KJazz. It's all the Jazz now. It's under their ownership now and under his group. So, I think. Let me see if we can find that tweet, because Jen.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you said, he, and again, I'm not gonna sweep him under the rug and say that the low hanging fruit wasn't important. It was. The scholarships were important. The cancer stuff was important. For some, you know, bringing back the nostalgia of KJazz and the Delta Center. I know I poked fun at it, but like, you know, that means a lot to some people. So good for them. You know, but what I'm saying is, like, tangible things. It's still a lot of TBD. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, especially if you dig into McCabe, there was some, you know, he unloaded favors in what appears to be a cost-saving maneuver. We didn't make those big, again, I understand the asset poor thing, like, whatever. You can make excuses all you want, but somehow the Milwaukee Bucks who blew their load supposedly to get Drew Holiday found enough load left to get Damian Lillard. So
that second load is hard, but it's always nice, you know. So
yeah, it's sometimes it feels a little raw and a little less tingly, but it usually is more satisfying. And I think that Dame will be more satisfying than Drew. Mm-hmm. I think you're right in the big picture. And he goes on the interview, and there was that tweet that got tweeted out about how he's talking to those guys.
I'm not right. You're right. This is your point. This is your point that you made last year.
I'm just saying, like, it's just I think on the we like to give him shit because right. I think he needs that because
he does.
Everyone's too busy sucking his dick, but or some, you know, metaphorically right. sucking metaphorically. His dick. He would never do that. It's a sin. But he did. There was a clip that went around recently where he was doing an interview with someone else, a couple of tech guys or something, talking about how he wanted to be on the front end of. He would rather be dealing with his own media company as opposed to the uncertainty of regional networks. And, you know, like that's all fine. But again, those are all things being said. We haven't I get it. The rebrand was a fucking nightmare.
Right.
You got some people digging in saying they really like it.
The rumor I heard was that he signed off on it. And then when it came out and everybody hated it, he was like, whose idea was this? Like, and they're like, you signed off on this. Like, we showed you it. And like, he's a very busy man. So he probably like just forgot. Right. But like, it's something like he
forgot that he was going to change the entire.
Right. Like he's like, oh, is that what I picked? You know, like, I was like, yeah. So like, it sounds like billionaire behavior.
Very, very busy man is a nice code word right. for like, he doesn't like big accountability when people get pissed off.
It sounds like billionaire behavior. This is the app is a very good, like, hey, we're gonna put this app out. And then he doesn't have a plan. He just has people to do it. He's like, hey, we're gonna make an app. Go do it, right? Like, he's not in there.
He's big idea guy. Which, mm-hmm. if you ever work for Big Idea Guy, it's a fucking nightmare,
right? You know,
Big Idea Guy is not fun to work for. But yeah, I mean, the rebrand was terrible. Mm-hmm. Then they fumbled it and said Purple's back when it wasn't because they scrambled because it started to leak out how bad it wasn't. People hated it, so they tried to like shift gears to Purple, but they couldn't. And they had the emergency bring back the Purple Mountains because I guess the NBA in an emergency move signed off on that because that wasn't supposed to be back either, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't release the Purple, and so then hey, it's a great day for all Jazz fans. Well, there's a shit ton of Jazz fans outside of Utah that had no solution, and then it sounds like a lot of folks, even some of the more positive upbeat Jazz folks, had a really rough experience with the app. So,
right.
And again, kudos. I mean, we got a hell of a lot for Rudy and Donovan, which was good, and I think it's put the franchise in the right direction. But again, is that Ryan Smith? I mean, he's got the final say, but that has more Danny Ainge's fingerprints on it than anything else.
Yeah,
right?
He hired Danny to kind of be like, you know, again, Danny's a good hire, but also it was like Danny and him are also golf buddies, right? Like,
I'm sure he grew up idolizing Danny.
Yeah. So, it's sort of like, look, it turned out to be a good hire, but, you know, it's one of those, like, was it the best hire out there? Like, you know, in the NBA, you know, like, especially for the Jazz, the margins are thin. Like, we've seen the Jazz make pretty good hires, Quinn Snyder, make pretty good draft picks in Rudy and Donovan. And that only gets you so far. If you don't, you know, let's say I'm hiring for a new job and I have people I think I like that I want that position for. But if I'm not opening up my position and bringing in people from the outside, I'm not interviewing the best of the best, I might not be making the right hire. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know where this metaphor is going, but that's sort of where I'm going with it. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, I think maybe what I'm getting at is, you know, I believe the Danny Ainge hire right now looks like it was the right move. A move from Dennis Lindsay was an improvement. We can all agree on that. But I think that, I guess what I'm getting at is we give him a lot of shit, and try to paint him as maybe not a great owner yet. I guess what I'm getting at is there's a lot of people out there who are just praising him endlessly about he's the greatest owner that ever lived. And I guess I push back strongly in the other direction. That's my nature. But I think the truth is that in reality, we don't really know yet. He's done a lot of good things for PR, but as far as tangible things, like, we still haven't seen.
Yeah.
We don't know what the team's going to be like. We don't know if he's going to have the guts to make the moves yet. We don't know if he had the rebrand. Most people didn't like it.
Yeah, this is
the app. I think is a step in the right direction. That will be great for people.
Yes, when it gets better.
I also am not going to like, and I know this, and I don't know the inner workings at all. So someone could probably talk me in circles about it. But I'm sorry, like, I just don't believe in the long term him offering streaming rights and giving up the regional sports. It may be a loss for him up front, but there's no way that as a billionaire he was going to take hundreds of millions of dollars in losses.
Yeah, I mean,
forever. You know what I mean? Like, I know people want to say, well, he's done this. Look at the sacrifice. I don't know. It seemed like regional sports networks were on the verge of dying anyways. And then
I think the larger point here that we're trying to make is that, you know, like in the now, but sometimes, you know, we need to have years of data to, like, all right, cool. Like, exactly. Again, when Quinn was hired, again, when all these people were hired, you know, 10 years ago, it looked like the Jazz had done great, right? You know, two multi-time All-Stars, you know, a coach of the year candidate. And then, you know, just a few years later, like, oh boy, that was a disaster. And we shouldn't be giving flowers to people when we're in the third inning of the game. You know,
like, sure. I think that's what we're getting at. It's to be determined. For every Delta Center, there's a yellow and black uniform.
Right. Yeah.
So that's like what I'm getting at. So.
So let's not. I guess, and this is a Twitter thing in hold, is that, like, we're so in the now, and sometimes, like, hey, you know, we have to wait 2, 3, 4 years before we really know what we really think about something. So,
yeah, because it is wild to see the turning on Quinn.
Yeah,
it felt like there were some definitely Quinn detractors, but I think it was like a 75-25. 75% loved Quinn, 25% of us didn't like him.
Yep.
And that thing has flipped on its head, especially with the Terrence Mann reunion coming up, or Terrence Mann's birthday today. It was funny to watch. I don't know.
Yeah,
Quinn was Quinn.
So. So another thing that sometimes we don't take enough time to judge on, or we judge too quickly, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, draft picks. The Jazz again, you know, had 3 draft picks this year because Danny Ainge was so bored last year with no draft picks in the draft that the Jazz need to get as many draft picks as they could. So they went out and got as many draft picks as they could. That story bothers me, but that's another episode, I think.
Say that again.
You've heard that story, right? Where, like, Danny Ainge was in the draft room last year, and when the Jazz had no draft picks, first or second, and he was like, "This is boring." And, like, Ryan Smith tells that story. It's like, "Oh, Danny said it was so boring not having draft picks." And then lo and behold, the next year, that's when the Jazz went and grabbed, you know, their 10 draft picks, had 3 in the first round, and just one of those weird things. And I'm like, you tell the story, and it's supposed to be like a fun story, and I hear, I'm like, that sounds weird, but, you know. It's like Danny Ainge didn't have any draft picks. Go get him draft picks. You know, do whatever you can. Give him draft picks. But
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants—they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anyway, one of the draft picks, you know, we talked about Keontae George, and, you know, he's probably going to play significant minute for the Jazz. Great. Bryce Sensabaugh, again, a low first-round draft pick. If he ends up in the G League, that's okay. I mean, a low first round draft pick, really, if they can become a rotation top eight player on a team, that's a pretty good career for them. The one that's really rubbing Jazz fans the wrong way, their high draft pick, their number nine, their lottery pick, their own pick, Taylor Hendricks, not getting that many minutes in preseason. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that there, Logan?
It's not just the minutes. I think it's all stacked upon itself, because part of the issue was that we didn't get to see him in the summer league either, right? So you get anxious. I think some of that anxiousness is like fed over into the preseason. I don't watch any preseason, so I don't know if this is a normal thing for coaches. I don't have any. To me, it seems like you would want to get the young guys out and get some run in there, right? But you've also got to integrate the new guys too. So I guess it's a fine, it's a tricky balance. But I don't know. It all kind of got fired up when David Locke, I think, proposed the idea of him spending time in the G League, and that kind of sent people over the edge.
That is, a concern of mine.
Yeah, because if he plays significant time in the G League, he turns out to be an all NBA All Star talent, he will be the first one.
Right.
It's never happened. It's not to say it's not going to happen, but for the naysayers, right now. Yep. History shows
the track record's not good.
It looks like it's not good.
Not good. And that's what people are like, oh, well, like there are people who are like, oh, it's not a big deal if he plays. I mean, this is a G League. That's fine. Like, that's not his career. And they're right. But then there's people who are like, well, if he plays in the G League, it means he's not ready to play in the NBA, and that's bad. And most draft picks, most high draft picks who play in the G League historically have not, been all-stars, multi-time all-stars, all NBA players. And they're right, and that's the thing, is that both groups are right, because like you just said, like, doesn't mean he can't be. It just means that his path is going to be much harder, and we don't have
he would be the first, right?
We don't have precedence. I mean, I think Rudy Gobert played in the G League, but and he's a multi-time All Star.
No, I guess what I'm getting at, but I'm saying, I shouldn't say G League. There's been G League success stories. I'm saying top 10 picks.
Yeah, but you're right. I'm sorry.
Lottery picks.
It has to be a top 10 pick. You're right. That's my mistake. So, top 10 picks generally don't play in the G League. There's just not a precedence for it, and that is concerning.
Usually play for your team, right? But then again, the unique part is he's kind of log jammed there behind Collins.
Markkanen,
Olenek, right? So it's a weird spot to be in.
Like, some people were like, "Oh, minutes for minutes, right?" And we just have. I think we had this conversation last year. We're talking about, I can't remember who it was. I said, "Would you rather see this guy play, 10 minutes in the NBA, or 20-25 minutes in the G League?" And there's going to be some old purists who say, "Who minutes are minutes? So go down there, improve your game." But the problem that the NBA has is that the G League is really far away from NBA basketball, NBA style basketball. Like, it's not like AAA, AAA and the majors are pretty far from each other. But once a player gets to AAA, like, they're out there to show that they can field, hit home. Like, it's not about wins and losses, right? But it's like, all right, here, I'm going to showcase I can hit home runs. Or I can showcase, my pitching, right? The G League and the NBA are just too far apart.
It's not built the same. Like, baseball is a real progressive, developmental, step by step scaffolded system, and the NBA isn't. I mean, even looking at Baji, just a year ago, he spent a ton of time in the G League initially, right? And he really struggled coming to the NBA. It's just, he was really rough at first, right? Which incited the flop. The bust.
And people are going to be like, oh, Baji, he's a success story, quote-unquote success story. But, I put this on Twitter. I'm like, if Baji's the bar, that's not a high bar. Like, Baji, look, I think he's a good player. But I don't think he's a starter on every team. I don't know if he's a top eight player on every team.
In the most loaded draft in the history of the NBA, your number nine pick should be someone who's not just a rotational possible 3-D player. I think that's the big part here. Is it's just, I think we talked about this after the draft. I think we talked about it before, and that was, normally I'd say get him some G League reps so at least he's playing. The problem is he's a number nine pick, and the NBA, like you and I have discussed going all the way back to high school, the NBA dudes are dudes from the beginning.
Right. Like Donovan Mitchell.
Darren Williams sat for a minute, but by the end of the first year, though, you knew that Darren Williams was a dude.
So. I mean, and Darren was sat for a minute because Jerry Sloan was Jerry Sloan, right? Because
Jerry Sloan's an asshole.
Donovan Mitchell was not going to spend a second in the G League. Yeah, like, I mean, like, Kevin Durant would not spend a second in the G League. And, you know, I know I'm picking, you know, pretty good players, but that's who you want your number nine pick to be. You want your number, you know, you want your top, I mean, especially in this draft with the Thompson twins. Victor Wembanyama, who looks really good. Surprise, surprise to nobody. Well, I guess to some people. Scoot Henderson looks good. Like, that's the thing, that all the top rookies already look good.
Cam Whitmore.
But like those guys that the top eight guys that went above Taylor Hendricks, not one of them are going to spend a second in G League. So I see the concern there. There's definitely concern, but on the other hand, we don't judge people in their first year. We don't just say, okay, oh, you didn't do it in the first year, then you're done. Look at Steph Curry. Look at Giannis. Two of the top 10 players in the NBA right now, probably. You know, and Steph had injury concerns. Giannis is a good comp because I think he was just a very raw player, right? Had a huge body. I'll go look up his stats. I think he only played like 20 some odd minutes a game, which is good. But he wasn't starting. He wasn't Giannis. It wasn't until his sophomore year that he like really kind of blew up. But like, I don't remember Giannis, you know, being in any rookie of the year conversations or anything. So, so it's not over, but it's very rare, you know. And again, you a top 10 pick going to the G League and then becoming a multi-time All NBA player has not been done before. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the right answer is or what makes anybody feel good, but for me, it's like, well, I'm not going to freak out about it. I don't know. Would you freak out if Taylor just sat on the bench all year or played in the G League?
If he doesn't crack the rotation, yeah, I would be concerned. Just to start of the year, no. Like, I think whatever is whatever. But, I mean, if he spends a ton of time, I mean, you even saw Agbaji made strides, right? We thought he was going to be a G League dude for the whole year, and then by the end of the season, he was playing regular rotational minutes. So if he can't crack that, then I would be very concerned.
I mean, yes. So
because I don't think I think, you know, I understand that Collins and the other dudes in front of him, but if you're a dude, you're a dude, and you figure out a way to get yourself in there. You force their hand, right? So
I'm looking at Giannis's first year, 19 years old, played small forward. He played in 77 games, so he did play in all the games. He started 23 games, but he played 25 minutes, so, you know, not a lot of minutes. I mean, now he's averaging, you know, 35-ish minutes. Mm-hmm.
Playing 77 games in 25 minutes a game is a significant amount for a rookie.
So, I mean, you know, he was only a 7 point per game guy. He put four rebounds, not a block, not a steal a game. So, I mean, it was an okay. You know, like you got him, like, oh boy. Like, if I saw that I'm a rookie in the first year and you told me to, like, guess what the rest of the career would be, I'd be like, oh, you know, a quality backup player. You know, like, take him off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, that's true that you can't predict that far. I guess the question you ask is if you sat on the bench or played the G League,
right.
Difference between what?
Yeah, and so you're right. And I guess my train of thought had already moved on to something else, I guess. So, but yeah, so I'm you know, like, that would be good for Taylor Hunter, but he's not even close to that track right now.
I see what you're saying is you still don't know after 1 year.
Right.
Yeah. Because even with that rookie year, you wouldn't think that dude at 19 was still going to become Giannis. And I get that. I guess what I'm saying is if he's still not a rotation guy and it's still the same, he spends more than half a season in the G League, I would be concerned. Again, it's not impossible to crack it, but yeah, there's not a large precedent there for it ever happening. You'd have to be the first, you know.
So. And here's the thing: the Jazz had three draft picks. I mean, what do we say about the draft all the time? It's a crapshoot, right? Craps. It's gambling. It's, you know, like, anybody who gambles knows how hard it is to beat the house. Like, the odds are against you. So if you have three draft picks and one becomes an all NBA guy, all, you know, multi-time all-star, that's pretty good. To get two, man, like, you're really lucky. I mean, I think we're already kind of in our mind palaces, in our heads here, we're all thinking that Bryce Sensabaugh is not going to be that guy, right?
So he hasn't played much. I don't know. I know zero about his game. I never even heard his name in the in the 3,744 mock drafts that we saw on Jazz Twitter. Right. I never saw his name.
The only thing I know about him is that, I mean, he played power forward in college, and now he's going to play shooting guard, which I think is a little weird, but, you know, hey, teach their own, those guys. He's only like 6'5", or something. He's not tall, so. But yeah, so let's say the Jazz, out of the three draft picks, and so their lowest draft pick in the first round, probably not going to be an all-star. And that's you know, a 95-96% chance of happening. Okay, that's cool. You know, and, you know, a lot of top 10 picks don't really, you know, pan out to be all-stars and superstars. But then again, what was Keontae George, number 16? Number 16 picks are probably not going to be that either. But if you get one of them, man, you should be pretty happy about that, right?
Yeah, if you get one of them that's a star and you get one rotational player, that's a massively successful NBA.
And again, it's because like the Cam Whitmores are on the board and the whoever else is that were drafted after, you know, the Grady Dix, who we haven't heard his name in months or whatever. But and when those guys, like, it's going to be another Tony Parker, so like, oh, the Jazz could have had this guy. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, I mean, out of those 30 guys that were drafted in the first round, a bunch of them are going to not see time, you know, like, it's great, it's preseason, you know, and we're going to freak out, like, somebody put it out, like, hey, you can't just take the field, you know, you can't just say, oh, man, the Jazz had just drafted one of these other 29 guys, but they only had one pick, right? Yeah, you have to pick one of those 29 guys. So, like, hey, but if Cam Whitmore's your guy, cool. If Cam Whitmore turns into be an All-NBA guy, take your victory lap in a few years, but, you know, you don't get to have Taylor Hendricks and then everybody else. So,
that's true.
Yeah, you know, this is not a fair, you know, measuring stick for Hendricks. So, so I'm generally not going to freak out too much. If he starts playing in the G League, I'll be like, well, that's not great. But, you know, it would be nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to optimistically hold out hope. But I guess what I'm saying is the naysayers who are saying flop or bust, like they've got a salt. I mean, I'm not as angry about them as I am some of the things they talk about, right? So there is kind of history doesn't – and I'd be disappointed too. I mean, he's the number 9 pick. And going back to my history, like I'm one of like maybe 2.5 people in the world who still don't love Derek Favors because he wasn't what he was supposed to be.
Right, number 3 pick.
He was the centerpiece, the number three overall pick, right? Or number 2, number 3, number 3, I don't know.
Number 3, yeah, number
3. He was supposed to be the centerpiece of the Darren Williams, and he turned out to be a great –
he's a fine player.
All indications, 100% all world dude, like really solid guy, which is shocking for me because when I stopped really paying attention to Jazz, he was still kind of a young punk ass who seemed like he hated things. So when I came back and he was grown up and it was cool to see that as a person.
Right.
Absolutely seems like a solid dude. Great teammate, but he should still be in the NBA even as a role player. He wasn't a great player.
Right.
Like that's so. It just is what it is. So
let's follow his career in the G League, folks.
I saw something. He's going the G League route. Then I saw that the Bulls signed him, and then the Bulls waived him today, like a day later. So I don't know.
I assume that like if you sign somebody, and I'll have to go look. But like I think they signed him so they
can. There's a mechanism to get him on the G League.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like what the Jazz did.
It was him and another guy. They signed, and a day later they said we waived or something. I'm like, what the hell does that even mean?
So. Back to Chicago for Derek Favors. There, did he ever go to Chicago? No, maybe not. Maybe Chicago.
That's all the other Jazz guys. Like Brewer, who was it?
Corver, Boozer, Brewer. Yeah. So and now
did Corver go to Chicago too?
Corver, I'm pretty sure played in Chicago.
Went to Atlanta.
Well, he did go to Atlanta, but was he in? Maybe
I feel like he was in Chicago for a minute too, right? Like
I thought
all the Jazz guys.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna look up Kyle Corver's career.
It's the Jerry Sloan pipeline, they call it. So, I'm looking at it right now. Kyle L. Ooh, his middle name is Elliot. K. Corv, 26. Let's see if this pops up here. He went from Utah,
Chicago Bulls,
right to Chicago right after, then Atlanta. So,
but then he got the Millsap situation going again.
Yep. So. All right, Logan. Well, that was, I mean, look, hey, you know, interesting conversation. You know, you and I think are simpatico a lot of times. Like, look, we don't care about preseason. Like, the one time I care about preseason, I got tricked into liking Jared Butler. And we also, you know, like, I don't want to say I form a lot of my opinions through Twitter, but the reason I like to, you know, I'm on Twitter is because I do like seeing all these different voices and then kind of picking out, like, okay, cool, let's see if this guy. You know, like I like to listen to their arguments about stuff and then kind of listen to kind of see. And then, you know, like, I don't like watching basketball training and think, oh, this guy's not a good defender or scout, you know, try to scout that way. You know, that's just not how I watch the basketball,
part,
I guess.
Part of the game that I've never been able to figure it out, but I also just, I don't have any interest in learning how to figure it out, I guess.
Exactly. So it has been interesting to see, like, what Jazz Twitter has been freaking out about. And hey, look, Lauri Markkanen looks like he's going to lead the Jazz. I mean, if the four preseason games mean anything, it looks like, you know, Lauri Markkanen will lead the Jazz again. You know, hopefully have another something McCate said I thought was interesting is that if Lauri and sort of something I sort of mentioned on the podcast maybe a week or two ago was that if Lauri and Walker don't take like huge jumps, like they get incrementally better, that should be good. But Jazz fans are freaking out that if they don't get that much better, and I don't know. I think that's a hard, high bar for those guys. Not saying they can't reach it, just saying that, you know, they might be who we saw last year again. So. And this team might, you know, and we'll probably talk about this next week about if we think the Jazz are going to, you know, get better or get worse from last year and who's going to get better and everything. So that's always a kind of a fun thing to do. But anything else before we hit the produce corner, the nugget pouch, whatever we're going to do next?
No, I've got nothing jazz-wise.
You know, shout out to our good friend Crystal Tracy. She ran into our another Royal friend from Roy High, Ty Moore. I just had lunch with them. Chris Fredrickson there, you know, still working at the Weber State there. Anybody on Twitter lately? Like I said, Jen McKay was the one I retweeted because she had said something about, like, you would think they would fix the kinks before releasing the app. And I was like, does that sound like something that the Smith Entertainment Group would do? Because they haven't. They have not. I don't know stuff that they rolled out and have not had problems with. Delta Center, I guess, was the last rollout they had. But, yeah. Let's see. Anything else? Shout out to my friend, Mary Lou Cook. She's now the Miss Utah USA. The former Miss Utah USA moved up to the Miss America USA, so apparently they just give the crown to the runner up, I guess. So that is your learning moment of the day about beauty pageants. Anybody else there, fellow Logan?
Well, who wants to make it very clear? His friend, not our friend. His friend.
Not yet. She could be. If she doesn't get in trouble with the Jazz for doing interviews, we'll have her back on again.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't know. As far as my nugget pouch goes, it's a little bit raw. It's run a little bit dry. I don't have any super great gems in here. I think the one that I do want to touch on is I put a poll out as who's the most legendary double zero in your eyes in Jazz fandom.
Ooh,
we've been blessed to have Clarkson
or Ostertag. Yes,
Greg Ostertag, and the answer is pretty clearly easily for me. Greg Ostertag. Clarkson obviously won the poll because it all shakes down. But the silver lining here is I discovered that I wasn't the only Ostertag fan. Well, I thought growing up that I was the only Ostertag fan. That everyone hated him. They got overpaid. He was the reason they didn't win championships. But it's been refreshing to see that I'm not alone in my Ostertag love. And just, again, if Ostertag's Instagram is
at first I thought it was a bit, and then I was like, no, Logan really likes Ostertag.
I do like him there. I turned out to be right in this particular case.
Yes.
And the other nugget I have is I don't know why it's in here, but just like it says throwing batteries. Like, do you remember like when that was a thing that like people were constantly getting in trouble for throwing batteries at players? Like that was the thing. They would say, "Oh, Allen Iverson was pelted with batteries on his way out," or Terrell Owens had batteries thrown at him. And I'm thinking to myself, like,
why batteries?
Who the fuck was bringing batteries in their pockets and just like ready to throw them at people? Like, it suddenly crossed my mind randomly one day, and I put it in the pouch.
Yeah, the pouch.
Because just, you know, we just don't, you know, we used to be a proper country. We threw batteries at players, and we didn't like them. And now
social media has ruined everything. So, yeah, throwing batteries at players. I don't remember that, but that's pretty funny. That's good stuff. But all right, so next week, again, coming up on deck for us, hopefully a Donovan Mitchell talks. You know, because people from Cleveland, people from New York, I want to hear how they feel about it a year later, because. You know, New York, famously just missing out on star players. And Cleveland, you know, this is it. The time has started on the countdown clock has started on Cleveland with the Donovan Mitchell extension talk and everything. So, There's that going on. And then, next week, Logan, we're going to try to figure out who we think are going to be the best teams in the West, the best teams in the East, and who's going to be in the finals. So stay tuned. Thank you to BetOnline.ag for sponsoring the podcast and the B-League Network. Dragon Squatch, Who Trust Your Men. We'll see you guys next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.